Chapter 21. I rubbed at my eyes and mumbled some vague curse at whoever was following us.
Okay. Give me a minute.
Harry, said Susan, I'm almost on empty. I don't know if we have a minute.
It never rains, I moaned.
Tara frowned at me. It's raining now, she turned to Susan. I do not think he is coherent. I snorted and looked around blearily.
It's a figure of speech. Hell's bells, you really don't know anything about humans, do you?
Are you sure there's someone following us? Tara glanced back at the traffic behind us. Two cars back, and three cars behind that one. Two vehicle are following us. How can you tell? I asked. Tara turned those odd amber eyes back to me. They move like predators. They move well, and I feel them. I narrowed my eyes. Feel them? On an instinctual level? Tara shrugged. I feel them, she repeated. They are dangerous. The taste of blood was still in my mouth, annoying input like static on a phone. Of all the people who might be chasing me in cars, I could only think of a few who would trigger supernatural senses of an inhuman being. I thought that it might be a pretty good idea to listen to what my dapper double had to say. Susan, I said, I want you to get off the expressway. Her dark eyes flashed beneath the street lamps as she looked at me, then down at her fuel gauge. I have to, in the next couple of miles anyway. What do you want me to do? Pull off. Get to a gas station. She flashed me another nervous look, and I had the time to note that she was gorgeous, like some sort of Latin goddess. Of course, I might have been a little less than entirely objective. Then what? She said. I checked my foot and idly took off my remaining boot so that my hips would be parallel with the floor while I was standing. Call the police. What? Susan exclaimed and guided her car off the freeway and down the exit ramp. I felt around in the jumpsuit's tool pouch until I came up with a little sports bottle with my second potion in it. Just do it, I said. Trust me on this one. Wizard, Tara said, her voice still utterly calm. There is no one but you who can help my fiancé. I shot Tara an annoyed glance. I'll meet you where you hold your Cub Scout meetings. Harry, Susan said, what are you talking about? She pulled the car down the exit ramp onto a one-way access road. I understand what you are doing, Tara said. I would do the same for my mate.
Mate? Susan said indignantly. Mate, I am most certainly not his...
I didn't want to hear the rest of what Susan said, because I grabbed my blasting rod in one hand, the potion in the other, opened the door to the car, unfastened my seatbelt, and rolled out onto the shoulder of the road. I know. Sounds really stupid in retrospect, even to me. But it made sort of a chivalrous, cockamamie sense at the time. I was pretty sure that Parker and his cronies in the Street Wolves were shadowing us, and I had a precise idea of how dangerous they could be. I had to assume that they were even worse during the full moon. Susan had no idea of the level of danger she was in, and if I stayed near her, I would only draw her more deeply into it. And Tara... I still didn't trust Tara. I wasn't sure I wanted her fighting at my back. I wanted to deal with my pursuers myself, to deal with my own mistake myself, and not to make an innocent bystander like Susan pay for it. So I threw myself out of the passenger seat of a moving car. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, it made sense at the time. I held out my arms and legs in a circle, as though I was trying to hug a barrel, and then scrape, scrape, rip, bumpity, 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 whip, 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 thud. Everything whirled around the whole while. I managed somehow to keep my sense of direction, to maintain my momentum, largely in a roll, and to angle myself toward the dubious comfort of the thick weeds at the side of the access road. By the time I came to a stop, I was among freshly crushed plants, all damp and cold from the rain, the smell of mud and grass and asphalt and exhaust clogging up my nose. There was pain everywhere, spreading out from my shoulder and my foot, whirling dizziness, blackness that rode on my eyelids and tried to force them down. I struggled to remember what I had planned on doing when I'd thrown open the door to Susan's car. It came to me in a moment, and I jerked the squeezed top of the sports bottle open with my teeth and then crushed the plastic bottle, forcing the potion inside it out through the narrow nozzle into my mouth. 8 ounces of cold coffee, I thought, dimly. Yum. It tasted like stale cardboard and too old pizza and burned coffee beans. But as it went down my gullet, I could feel the power in the brew spreading out in me, active and alive, as though I had swallowed a huge, hyperkinetic amoeba. My fatigue quite simply vanished, and energy came rushing into me like it sometimes does at the end of a good concerto or overture. The pain receded to levels I could manage, the soreness lifted out of my muscles, and my cloudy, cloggy thought process cleared as though someone had flushed my synapses with jalapeno. My heart rate surged, and then held steady, and then I came to an abrupt conclusion that things just weren't as bad as I thought they were. I pushed myself up using my bad arm, just to spite the injury that Agent Ben had dealt me, and brushed myself off. My jumpsuit was torn, and there was fresh blood on it, scrapes from the asphalt and darkening bruises on my legs and arms that I could already see. Annoying little bastards. I held them in contempt. I shook my shield bracelet loose around my left wrist, took my blasting rod in my right hand, and turned toward the access road. I drew in a breath, smelling the odor of the rain on the asphalt, and more distantly the crisp, clean scent of autumn, almost buried by Chicago's stink. I considered how much I loved the autumn and composed a brief poem about it as I watched traffic force Susan's car on down the access road and out of sight, and then turned my head to view a pair of cars cut frantically across traffic and cruise down the access road. The lead car was a 2-ton pickup, one of the really big ones, and Parker sat behind the wheel, looking around wildly until his eyes lit upon me, standing there in the tall weeds beside the road. I smiled at him and contemplated his shocked expression to my own satisfaction. Then I drew in a breath, and my renewed will with it, lifted the rod in my right hand, murmured a phrase in a language I didn't know, and blew the tires off his fucking truck. They all went at once, in one satisfying thump. Complete blowouts resulting from a sudden heating of the air inside the tires. Pretty slick spell to pull off on the fly, heating up the air inside the tires of a moving vehicle. The truck slewed left and right, and I could see Parker frantically rolling the steering wheel in an effort to maintain control. 2 people sat in the cab with him, faces I didn't recognize from here, and they evidently didn't believe in seatbelts. They were tossed about the inside of the truck like toys. The truck careened off the road in a spray of gravel, went past me into the weeds, hit some sort of ditch, and went into a perilous roll. There was an enormous crunching sound. Car wrecks, when they happen for real and not on television, are surprisingly noisy. They sound like someone pounding empty trash cans out of shape with a sledgehammer, only louder. Parker's truck tumbled over twice, crunched into the side of a hill, and lay there on its passenger side. "Well, then," I said with a certain amount of professional pride, "that should take care of that." I spoke too soon. There was a brittle grinding sound, and the windshield of the truck exploded into a hectic spiderweb pattern.